You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Rise and shine. It's Fantasy Sports Today.
Welcome inside Studio 34 in Midtown Manhattan, FST. New program, same trio. Fantasy Sports Today right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Corey Parson, the fantasy executive, the accuracy expert, the all-in kid, Jake Seeley. Wall Street, Matt Medica for the next hour, taking you up to noon on the East Coast. We put a bow on Super Bowl 52, put a bow on the NFL season. Yeah, all-in kid, Jake Seeley. Fly, Eagles, fly. The Philadelphia Eagles, for the first time in franchise history, are the Super Bowl champions with a 41-33 victory over the New England Patriots. Good morning, my man. How you doing?
I'm doing good. I've been doing a lot better if it wasn't the Eagles.
That seems to be a lot of the thought process of the NFC East fans, myself included. But you know what? I was kind of tired of Tom Brady. And for about 15 seconds last night, I actually felt happy for the city of Philadelphia, the Eagles, and their fans, Matt Medica.
Yeah, they were like, you know, you can't call them lovable losers because they were
not
lovable.
No, they're not lovable.
I'm happy for them that they do get to. Look, I'm an AFC guy, so it's different in that aspect. But for the fact that Doug Peterson hopefully pretty much is a driving force in changing the landscape of coaching, and the 30 other coaches that watched that game maybe take a page out of him as far as how they coach next season, and you know, punt only when it is a last option. When you're around midfield and it's a yard or two, most of the time go for it. I mean, depending upon, you know, situation, sometimes maybe not, depending upon your defense. But I mean, we see it so many times how these coaches are scared.
All right, so there you go. Got a lot to unpack today on the program. Obviously, we want to start with the head coaching's job. I want to start with coaching in general. We're going to come back when we get it started and get it kicked off. We'll talk about the coaching, Doug Peterson and his staff, as opposed to Bill Belichick and that staff. Also, want to talk about some of the controversy with the catch rule and stuff like that. Obviously, it's something that the NFL did not. Jake just dabbed a sneeze. I don't know. I don't know if Jake just dabbed a sneeze.
A sneeze. As soon as I leaned like that, I knew that's what it looked like.
So we talk about the coaching, the Patriots staff, as opposed to the Eagles staff. Both of them had big time decisions to make in this game. So we'll see how that played out. Also talk about some of the play on the field, the catch rule. Maybe even get into a little bit of, you know, maybe talk about the halftime performance and stuff like that. But all in all, the Philadelphia Eagles are the leaders of the football world. Carson Wentz goes down in Week 14. Everybody to a T said, and I was saying it was over before Carson Wentz was even on. Wentz was still playing. I was like, this team is fraud. This team is one and done. They proved the fantasy executive wrong. They are on top of the football world. And the city, from what I know of Philadelphia right now, it's still standing. Please leave those horses alone. Leave those ostriches alone. Whatever you got to do in Philadelphia, you still want to have a city. Because they don't even have the parade yet. The parade going to be lit, though. When we come back on the other side, talk about some of these coaches. Doug Peterson got done. Bill Belichick and his crew, not so much. It is FST right here on FNTSY.
Friends, if you want to win at fantasy sports, wouldn't you listen to people who have already won at fantasy sports? I'm here to tell you about DailyRoto.com. Don't be intimidated by the DraftKings and FanDuel sharks, even the fantasy draft sharks. The guys at DailyRoto.com have not only won $1 million amongst one of the writers, but they've created three others. That's four people who have won millionaire contests from this content alone. Don't be fooled by screenshots talking about $25,000 winners from other places. Go to DailyRoto.com, where they have a proven track record of creating millionaires. DailyRoto.com. Tell them Greg Sussman sent you.
Back here, FST on Fantasy Sports Network. Before we get into it, shout out to Meek Mill, who is wrongly in jail right now on parole violation. That has been the theme song of the city of Philadelphia, of the Eagles for this Super Bowl run right there. So free Meek Mill. Yeah. Before we get into some more of the stuff, the Philadelphia Eagles are going to be Super Bowl champions. That means that first Thursday of the NFL season, they're going to have a home game. Oh, God. I hope the opponent is not the Dallas Cowboys because I do not want to have to do that to start the NFL season that first Thursday. So there you go. The Philadelphia Eagles' home opponents in 2018 are the aforementioned Dallas Cowboys, the New York Giants, the D.C. football team. Those are the division teams. They also have the Atlanta Falcons, the Carolina Panthers, the Minnesota Vikings. Interesting. The Houston Texans and the Indianapolis Colts. You think it's the Panthers or the Vikings, Jake?
No, I think it's the Falcons or the Vikings.
Oh, you think it's the Falcons? Why?
Yeah, because they're playoff teams.
Yeah.
And there's a little bit more there between the Falcons than there is. I don't see any connection with the Panthers.
What do you think, Matt?
Well, I mean, I don't know if they want to use that Cowboy game off the jump because you're going to get people to watch this
game.
No,
the Giants and Cowboys always open opening weekend, too.
Oh,
yeah, remember that.
Yeah, that's right. That's the annual Sunday night tip-off. So, yeah, Falcons, the last two seasons, the last two NFC champions. I can see that. All right.
Yeah, that would be fun. I hope it's – look.
I still think the best thing from yesterday, of course, you didn't even bring it up, was the tweet where somebody put out yesterday. They said, look out for the Liberty Bell. The fans are going to melt it down and make brass knuckles and fight each other.
That's a good one right there.
Well, that's what I liked. They were showing fans on top of the awning at the Ritz-Carlton. And one of the guys goes backwards and, like, falls off.
Yeah.
And they're like, somebody on Twitter puts, I just watched a man die.
Nah, they was turned up. It was lit in the city of Philadelphia last night. But please, hooligans out there acting crazy, tearing up your city because your football team won the game. You got to do better than rioting and stuff like that. Y'all should know better than that. But then again, Philadelphia Eagle fans, I'm not gonna give y'all a hard time today, Eagle fans. I'm gonna try my best not to. Jake, once again, my man, Doug Peterson and staff, the aggressive nature. I love what he said after the game. You punt the football against this team, that's how you go 8-8. You know what I mean? We sit here and annually see the New England Patriots beat team that outplay them. But this time, Doug Peterson and staff outcoach Bill Belichick and staff, Jake. That's where I want to start at with this one. What do you think about the job? Once again, in back-to-back games, we've seen the Philadelphia Eagle coaching staff take another coaching staff to the woodshed.
Ooh, what do you mean, take another one?
Because they took the Vikings staff to the woodshed because they out...
Back-to-back games?
Yeah.
Okay. I missed the games part. So, yeah, real quick, behind the scenes, I'm still hearing the music, so...
You are?
I need to, okay. I'm still here.
My bad.
Yeah. It's not your fault. Yeah. I don't want to do behind the scenes, but I'm still hearing... I'm hearing the
Meek
stuff
Mill.
Laid yeah. over. Anyway, yeah. So, anyway.
Shout out to me.
Yeah, if you look at it, like, it's just the fact of, like, kind of what Matt said on the previous show, is the fact that, like, are we going to look at this now and say Doug Peterson and this team is starting to point to things that, like, we need to change going forward for the rest of the league, the other 31 teams, and say, hey, they're a little bit smarter. They're game planning for 2 weeks in a row, them going for it on fourth down, them knowing exactly what to do. The only question here is, I mean, for 2 weeks in a row, it wasn't exactly the defense.
I'm just the Nick Foles, like I said, it's kind of like Elite Flacco from back in the day, that playoff run. I honestly didn't think Foles could do it back-to-back games. And that's why I was going to bet the Patriots. Thankfully, I did not. I set myself some, you know, a nice stack of cash on that one.
Thank you.
Especially after I signed up for the Ultimate again. So,
oh, yeah. You did? You went back,
yeah,
huh?
I dropped the Super and I went with the Ultimate.
Right.
It was what I really wanted.
Yeah. Fantasy baseball at its highest level.
Yeah, it's coming tomorrow.
Yeah, that's right. Tomorrow we go
24, under 24-hour countdown begins.
There you go. Matt, what do you think the situation with – let's talk about the play call at the end of the first half that the Philadelphia Eagles to go for it on fourth down after the non-call on the pass interference, which I think was a pass interference on Alshon Jeffrey.
Like I said, we disagree on that. We'll get Jake's take in a second. I think it's how you win games. You in the playoffs, number one, you kick field goals, you lose, especially against the Patriots. You pointed it out earlier about, you know, how the Patriots do it. They get that ball in the second half, they march down the field, and they score on you. So, you know, it was an excellent play call. I was kind of thinking they might go back and just give it to Clement, give it one more smash up the middle, which I didn't think was the way to go. and he called a hell of a call, a hell of a play. It worked. So, yes, he gets all the credit. But just going for it was the right call regardless.
Jake, what do you think about that play at the end of the second half? Normally, that's when New England seems to get momentum. You get the non-call on what I believe was a pass interference on Alshon Jeffrey. You get the non-call on that. That takes away a touchdown from them. Kick the field goal. New England gets the ball back to start the second half. You know New England was going to score. But it's like Peterson and crew harnessed the momentum right there when they went for it on fourth down. What do you think?
I think it was a smart move. I mean, you look at it, the fact that these teams in the NFL, they talk about it all the time. When you get to midfield, what's their real advantage for punting? You maybe put them 30 yards back, maybe 40 if you can pin them inside the 10. And then how many times does that fail? And you put it into the end zone, and they start at the 20 anyway, so it ends up being like a net 20-25-yard punt. It's just the fact that it's you steal momentum. It's deflating when you don't stop somebody on fourth down. It's just the math actually speaks to it. We've done that for years now, seeing the statistics and everything that says go for it on fourth down. And actually, technically, according to the math, you're supposed to always go for it on fourth down. Nobody's ever going to go for it inside their own 20 or inside their own 30. But the math is there for a reason, and it just tells you the success rate and what the value added is. So you see somebody who's taken it to heart, and he took the advantage. And like you said, it put the Patriots back on their heels and didn't give them time to come back at the end of the half.
I'm sorry, I was reading the chat real quick. Jake, did you give your take on was it a pass interference call or not on the Alshon Jeffrey play?
Alshon Jeffrey? I didn't think it. Like, I would have probably called it, but for how much they let go in the Super Bowl, at least they were consistent in how much they let go. Because, I mean, there was a lot of calls that they didn't call. They didn't call holding basically the entire night, which you could basically call holding every single play. So they let that go. If you look at the Hail Mary, by the way, the other way, dude just blasted Chris Hogan out of the way. And they didn't call that, and that was the most egregious one of the night. And so, I mean, if you're not going to call things, you're not going to call things. In a normal regular season game, probably gets called. In this game, it was close enough that I could see them not calling it.
See, I just think he was falling on his own, and he was reaching for, he was trying to make a play on it. And the ball was on the one, and you're inside that. I don't know. For me, I wouldn't. I'm glad they didn't.
Yeah, all right, so cool. But anyway, it ended up working out for the Philadelphia Eagles. So
yeah, we wouldn't have had that play probably.
You see that play, that critical call right there. Also, a little bit later on in the game, Philadelphia Eagles go for it on fourth down with Chris Conover saying, "Oh, you know, they got the punt here," and I'm like, "No, Chris, they don't have to punt."
Yeah, that
what
was.
What are you doing, Chris? My God.
I mean, if you think of it, if they with the 5 minutes to go. If they would have punted,
they would have lost.
They would have lost.
Okay. They would have lost.
Say you believe in your defense, you can hold them from scoring a touchdown, which was what you had to do at that point. And then you had to go score a touchdown, which wouldn't have been easy. There wasn't the reward for punting there. There really wasn't.
We've seen it way too many times with this team. Matt Madika, you look at coaching situation on the other side of the football. Let's start with the benching of Malcolm Butler. Obviously, with situation earlier in the week, didn't fly in with the team. But if I'm not mistaken, he was excused because of health issues, dealing with the flu and stuff like that. So he gets out to Minnesota, and he's told before the game that he would not be starting. This right here is very, very intriguing.
I think, you know, not starting him. Look, he's not. Is he the best player? No. But like Greg pointed out, 17 out of 18 games he started. I'm not changing in the Super Bowl. He should have been out there. The move with Gilmore to Jeffrey should have happened sooner than, you know, that first quarter. You know, that first, you know, they went deep. Credit to Foles. He wanted to take shots. He said he wanted to take a shot early. He did. He got a touchdown. But I think not putting Gilmore on Jeffrey and not starting Butler really cost this team.
Jake, what do your insight, do you know anything, anything deep into what the situation with Malcolm Butler? Why possibly was he left on the bench? If I'm not mistaken, I saw a stat where it said, throughout the course of the season, he's played on 97% of the Patriots' defensive snaps. And you get to Super Bowl Sunday and you bench Malcolm Butler. Don't get me wrong. Malcolm Butler, I think, is overrated. But still, he's their starter. Why is he not out there in this situation? Is this Bill Belichick cutting off his nose despite his face?
I don't know, because we don't have no idea what's going on behind the scenes here. But it doesn't make a lot of sense. The fact is everybody... There's two sides of this. As you just mentioned, doesn't make a lot of sense, especially when you bring in, what's his face? The guy, the cast off from the Lions, who just was terrible last night. And if you look at it, the fact is, Eric Rowe is the one that's getting the comparison to Butler. And like, well, look how bad Eric Rowe's played all year. And it's true. Eric Rowe's been one of the worst corners in the league. But the thing with Eric Rowe is he's a slot guy, and Malcolm Butler isn't. So you go, it's like, okay, well, if you're going to bench Butler for, I still can't think of the guy's name from the Lions. I maybe they saw something in 2 weeks. Maybe Butler. I know there was a rumor of him dealing with the flu or sickness or something like that, and they didn't think he was 100%. So, I mean, because you know what it's like to try to run with the flu and the fact that you get gassed really quickly. I don't know. I can't. Like, we're all speculating, and we're not going to get the answer because it's the Patriots. So it doesn't, from the outside looking in, it makes zero sense, and it potentially cost them a game.
Oh, Malcolm Butler would give you the answer in free agency.
He said it after the game.
Yeah, exactly.
They effing gave up on me.
Yeah, so that's there you go right there. And Malcolm Butler is going to speak on it, too, especially when he could have been a New Orleans Saint in this past offseason. All right, when we come back on the other side, we're going to continue to unpack some of the stuff from this game right here. It's FST on FNTSY.
This is Lar Michaels of CreatorSports.com and host of the Tout Wars Hour on the Fantasy Sports Network. Join Justin Mason and me at our new time, Sundays at 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern, as we break down the fantasy games you love with the biggest names in the industry. Plus, starting with the 2018 baseball season, we'll review the Tout Wars Fab Bits live on the show, hours before your league's waiver deadline. So join Justin, Lord Zola, and special guests every Sunday at 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern for the most in your fantasy sports world.
Fantasy Sports Network, FST, it's the name of the program. Corey Parson, the fantasy executive, the All-In Kid, Jake Seeley, Wall Street, Matt Medica. Jake, your homeboy, your partner, that's a Detroit Lion fan, that'd be chilling with you. Did he watch the game with you yesterday?
Yeah.
Does he want to fire his head coach? Because his new head coach is, I'm not impressed with his new head coach at all. To be honest, no, I was never impressed with him, and I damn sure wasn't impressed after Nick Foles, backup quarterback, took his defense to the woodshed.
So we were all right. There's a couple things in this. First of all, we were talking about it for the past couple weeks about being excited about him and being excited for Patricia because that's what the defense needs. Is they need an upgrade over there. They need some better play calling. And the fact is, what he's done with the Patriots all year long with a very poor unit was commendable. But a few weeks ago against the Jaguars, I tweeted out after they jumped out to that huge lead, and I put, Patricia, hey, Patriots, are we still on for that head coaching job? And then I put, Patriots, new phone, who dis? And that was probably my biggest retweeted tweet of this year, at least, if not for like my entire career. And somebody pulled that back up yesterday and said, evergreen tweet, you should tweet it again. And during the game, we were talking about it. I was like, dude, this can't make you feel good. And he's still excited about Patricia, but you saw like during the game and after I brought up the fact that what happened with the Jaguars too, you saw he was just like, you know, maybe I wasn't excited about it. Like a few weeks ago, it was a 10. Now it's probably more like a 7 or an 8.
Yeah, I'm not so excited. I've never been excited. I think we've seen this before. But hey, he got the shot. This is what teams like to do. They like to go to the model franchise and pick off their pieces from that coaching tree and all that. I'll tell you the one thing, though, with Josh McDaniels. Now that he's going to the Colts and he's got Andrew Luck, seems like Luck might actually be healthy. I don't know. Maybe. Mm-hmm. You know, Captain Andrew Luck tweet if I go off of that. But if he's not successful with Andrew Luck, then it's on him. Because, you know, he kind of wanted Tebow the last time, and he had the Tebow experience. So if you want to lay it on Tebow, it's kind of his fault as well. Maybe Elway pushed that. But now he's going to get a chance with, if he's healthy, Andrew Luck. If he doesn't, you know, do it there.
All right, so there you go right there. That should be better for you, Jake. I just readjusted my volume.
We'll see. It's just a test.
All right.
Yep, that's better.
All right, cool. I like my headphones loud.
What?
I like them loud, too. Not as loud as you.
Almost got you.
That was
almost
funny. But Matt, here's the thing, though. And we'll get into the McDaniels thing. 41 points, 538 yards. That's crazy.
Well, I mean, look.
He's got it.
Here's the pro and the con. The Patriots opened the first month, worst defense, 31 points or something like that. Rest of the season on, it was like, I don't know, 14, 15, 16 points, somewhere in that range that they allowed, and I think it was a league best. But the thing I have here, and the thing that you look at it with offensive coordinators that have excellent quarterbacks or a defensive guy that has Belichick as well. I mean, I don't think Belichick has no say in this defense. I don't think that's the case at all. I don't think he just, you know, lets the offensive guy and the defensive guy run everything, and he just has no input.
But he said he kept me after the game. Bill Belichick did said that they kept us off balance the entire game.
Well, the thing was,
you had 2 weeks to prepare for this.
They
team.
Showed the here's, Patriots here's how bad they were against RPO. Yeah, the run-pass option.
You're right. What's
oh
up?
Oh my
Jake?
God! Stop! Stop! We're putting a moratorium on that. I mean, I'm so annoyed that popped up 3 weeks ago. I tweeted about that last night. Apparently, a lot of people hate it too. The stupid RPO.
Corey, we were talking about it this morning, right?
Yeah, no doubt the RPO, but it was if you was taking a shot every time the letters RPO was mentioned, you're in the house this morning.
Still in the bathroom puking.
There you go.
That's the thing is, like, if you started watching football throughout the entire regular season, stopped after week 17, and then just all of a sudden tuned in the last 2 weeks, you'd be like, "What the hell? Where did this come from?" Because it just popped up out of nowhere. But anyway, what I was gonna say, Corey, is it's kind of both sides. It's like we went on complimenting how smart, how well Doug Peterson called this game from an offensive perspective, and they were saying, well, Patricia did nothing. And it's like, well, let's give some credit back again to the Eagles and credit to Peterson for what they did. He's like, you know, I would be a little bit concerned with Patricia, and if that was who the Giants were bringing in, and when they were back with being rumored for that, I would be definitely concerned after what I saw for their last two games against the Jaguars and the Super Bowl. But at the same time, we're also still talking about the same team that everybody was complimenting for the second half of the season because Patricia's basically been dealing with nothing on his defense.
And now, what if, like, I'll give an example. Say, like, Matt LaFleur, right? He's leaving his boy McVay and the Rams. We saw what the Rams did this season.
Shout out to McVay,
and stuff like
NFL
that.
Coach of the Year.
He goes to Tennessee. Now, if he excels in Tennessee, takes his offense to the next level, you got to think he's a head coach next year.
Pretty soon, I think that his name will come up. He'll be a hot topic, so it'd be interesting to see how
about the Shanahan coaching tree. There you go.
Yeah. So I mean, but if he goes to Tennessee,
it's developing,
and it's a failure. Say Mariota takes another step back or something like that, and things just don't pan out.
Yeah. Wait a minute. One question. Now, wait a minute. You make that saying the Shanahan coaching tree. Who was the head of that coaching tree?
It was over Shanahan.
Is that Bill Walsh? That's the Bill Walsh. That's still the Bill Walsh tree. Because who was Mike Shanahan with?
Like Gary Kubiak and then the Kubiak tree.
Yeah, that's the Kubiak tree. Right? You're right, Matt. That's the Kubiak tree.
So it's the Kubiak tree.
Yeah. All right. Cool. When you said the
Shanahan. But see, that's tough though because is it like do you pull the tree all the way down for there was like not much success then we got back to Shanahan? Unless I'm missing somebody off the top of my head, I feel like there was a gap between Kubiak and Shanahan.
Kubiak was the Pops. Mike. It was Mike. And now, you know, it was Mike. It was Kubiak. It was Mike.
Right.
And then
like nothing.
Yeah, you're right. And then it was dead.
That's what I'm saying. There's like nothing. It's like Shanahan kind of reinvigorated it. Kyle Shanahan. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So.
You know, shout out to Kyle Shanahan.
Planting new trees.
There you go right there. Josh McDaniels has a chance to plant a new tree in Indianapolis. There was some rumors going around that he was not a lock. Well, not a lock, but that he definitely was not going to be gone. But we did hear some more reports this morning that he will go ahead and be the head coach of the head coach out in Indianapolis. Jake, after the game, Rob Gronkowski was 50-50 on whether he would return next year. Obviously, after a tough loss like that, you know, minutes after the game, 15, 20 minutes after the game, it's tough for the players to respond. But me and Matt Medica talked about it earlier this morning on the first part of FST. Jake, if I was Rob Gronkowski, I would retire. I really would.
Because?
Number one, okay, first, I don't think money's an issue for Rob Gronkowski right now. Obviously, it's his health situation. Rob Gronkowski can move right into and continue to be a celebrity. He has Super Bowl championships. And Rob Gronkowski, if he was to retire today, would be a first ballot Hall of Famer.
See, here's the thing, though, at the same time, is still 29, and this was his first almost full season in a long time. He only missed one game. True. His suspension. Right? So, I mean, the fact is, if you look at Gronkowski, I understand, you know, the back issues. I think that's going to be the biggest question. When it comes to him, how bad is the back issue? We talk about something, and I draw a parallel only because it's not similar at all from an athletic standpoint for the games that they play, but it's a good parallel for what could happen to your career. Is the back issue going to turn into something like David Wright? Like, all of a sudden, he's trying to play, and we just never see him for six more years.
Or Larry Bird.
Any type of degenerative back issue, yeah. I think would be something to consider. And that's the only thing that I think would stop.
I think the head injuries is tough too, Jake.
The back injury number one. Yeah. Is, you know, this is a back injury. You know, but just playing football, the beating he's taken already. He's not a young.
No.
And if you look at the last 3 years, he's played in 15 games, 3 out of the 4 years, started at least 10 of them, and all that. So I mean, he has. Look, and then that hit, you got to think CTE. I think this is a smart guy. Supposedly he has all his football money.
Yeah.
That's been a rumor I've heard. And he can just go and be whatever he wants to be. There'll be revenue streams coming in.
Yeah, that's why I say, and I think everything that he can. Everything that you can accomplish, I think he has accomplished. Unless he really wants to tear up the record book as a tight end. But the dude is never really going to be that healthy, I think, to tear up the tight end record book. So I do think he's a first ballot Hall of Famer, and I think he can leave
right now. Still a hell of a lot of money on the table.
That's true, too. It is a lot of money, but he can still get a lot of money, too.
What has he got? $17 million left. Greg broke it down. 8 this year, 9 next year.
So, well, I would go get that money then.
That
would be I come
but,
back
to you know, what if he gets a deal to say he retired and somebody gives him a studio gig that's comparable over the next few years?
See, that's the thing is I don't think he's getting a studio gig. I can see him getting advertising money. I don't see him in the studio.
I don't think he's a studio guy, but I definitely think that he is going to that he would still be out there. He would be a celebrity.
That's what Dion first was. Dion was great with CBS.
Yeah,
when he left CBS, I think that's what took a major hit. Look, if Shannon Sharpe's doing it, Rob Gronkowski can do it.
I see Gronk on the cable on the cable talk show. That'd be interesting.
Not like the him and Skip, but like
Skip. It was 16 of us. Skip, we had one bathroom, and it was outside. Skip.
Did you see Wingo's tweet yesterday, by the way?
No, I didn't.
With the fact that the NFL MVP has lost every single year since 1999, that the passing yard leader has never won a Super Bowl, and that Belichick and Alabama and Nick Saban have never won in the same year. And he was like, the numbers were trying to tell us.
And I think LeBron James has something to do in that mix, too. I think something about LeBron James also loses. LeBron James, like LeBron.
Yeah, no,
I mean, maybe it's LeBron James wins these years.
He wins these years? I don't know if it was like he bitches 10 times in one night or something that.
I didn't know it was Wingo, but I did see that. You know, MVP was 0-8 before yesterday against the spread and straight up. So now 0-9.
We got to find out what NBA players Jake likes when we come back.
Well, maybe we'll find that at Black History Month with Draymond Green.
Well, that's tomorrow.
that's not one of them.
That's tomorrow when we do our profile on Draymond Green. Later on this week will be Daryl Dawkins, the Dunkin'
Chocolate
Machine.
Chocolate Thunder.
So there you go right there.
Mike Cardano fave.
There you go. See? I did that for Mike. We got lots of bowl talk. We still got some more stuff that we got to do today, programming and stuff like that. So you get full go around of what happened in the big game. And when we come back on the other side, I want to go to NFL Saturday night, talk about NFL honors, and talk about this year's Hall of Fame class. It's FST right here on FNTSY.
Hello, friends. If you want to win at fantasy sports, wouldn't you listen to people who have already won at fantasy sports? I'm here to tell you about DailyRoto.com. Don't be intimidated by the DraftKings and FanDuel sharks, even the fantasy draft sharks. The guys at DailyRoto.com have not only won $1 million amongst one of the writers, but they've created 3 others. That's 4 people who have won millionaire contests from this content alone. Don't be fooled by screenshots talking about $25,000 winners from other places. Go to DailyRoto.com, where they have a proven track record of creating millionaires. DailyRoto.com. Tell them Greg Sussman sent you.
NBA All-Star Weekend coming up. That's the next big event in sports. That should be a lot of fun. Shout out to my Dubs, Dub Nation. That's 4 All-Stars.
I have a question.
Hey, Corey, I have one more stat for you.
Yes, Jake.
Tom Brady is now 0-3 in Super Bowls where Eli Manning has shown up.
shout out to Eli and Odell and the New York Giants. And that was the best commercial, and the Alexa commercial were the 2 best commercials.
Jake, did you see the Dave Potts tweet where he said this is the 3rd Super Bowl where Eli's going to upstage Brady? I thought that was pretty good here. Will you be announcing your picks on air from the
Yes, we are also the NFFC National Fantasy Football Championship Trendsetters Draft has started. 14-team league. I had the 9th pick in this draft. Me and my man Andy Saxon, who is a Philadelphia Eagle fan. Shout out to him and that whole fan base. Billy Hayes, the whole crew. My man John Wall, the homeboy down in the lobby. I was going to bring him upstairs today, but I forgot. Oh, well, he's an Eagle fan. He'd be all right.
As soon as I walked in the door this morning, he saw me, and he was like, you need me to come up today?
Yes.
I said, I need you to be coming for me. You came for me 2 weeks ago.
There you go. But, nah, we had the 9th pick. We started. We got Odell Beckham at 1-9 and came back with the second pick in the sixth pick in round two. We got Julio Jones.
This is a
14-team league. Started with Odell Beckham and Julio Jones. So NFFC Trendsetters League. I give you like this is
these so Julio went like 20th.
Yeah, Julio went 20th. So we have this morning / yesterday we start the first 6 rounds. And then we'll stand down. Then February 23rd, we'll go and start another 7 rounds. And then about a month later in March, we do another 7. And then April 5th, we go another 5 rounds. Then we have a rookie draft, yada, yada, yada. We'll be updating. We'll be drafting this thing till May. And then we'll be updating throughout the course of the year, the NFFC trendsetter. So right now, Odell Beckham and Julio is the start. I want to give a shout-out to the 2018 NFL Hall of Fame class, which includes Brian Urlacher, Ray Lewis, Randy Moss, Terrell Owens finally makes it. He deserved to be there. In my opinion, Terrell Owens should have went in before Randy Moss. Terrell Owens, the second best wide receiver to play the game. I said Ray Lewis. I said Randy Moss. Bobby Bethard, I know. And Brian Dawkins. Brian Dawkins, fly, Eagle, fly. Great safety for the Philadelphia Eagles. Matt Medica, what do you think about this year's Hall of Fame class?
First question is, will Ray Lewis do the speech in a white suit?
Oh, boy. I knew that was coming. And the Super Bowl is in Atlanta next year. So be careful.
Well, hold up. The fact is, somebody tweeted that, too, is the Super Bowl, or not Super Bowl, where they're getting their Hall of Fame plaques is supposedly, like, what, 10 minutes away from where he was involved in that situation.
The other thing is, for someone who lived in Chicago for a while, people, I always talk about the hatred of smoking Jay Cutler.
Yeah.
The love for Brian Urlacher. And for me, yeah. All these guys.
I was surprised he was first ballot.
Me too.
I thought he was one of the best. I really do. He was. Look, maybe the teams weren't the best, but Urlacher, at his peak, which I think was long enough. I think in football, it doesn't have to be the peak where, like, say, like a baseball. I agree with you. Terrell Owens should have been in as a first ballot. That was ridiculous. Randy Moss, I would put ahead of him still, but, you know, it's here are the apples.
Yeah.
Ray Lewis, despite all his faults, if you're just going to look at the play on the field, he deserves it too. Brian Dawkins to me was always one of the best in his position.
No doubt about it.
I had no problems with it.
Shout out to that crew that gets it. I want to touch right quick the Brian Urlacher thing. I don't think Brian Urlacher should have been the first ballot. And the thing with Ray Lewis, and I get it, Ray Lewis is, let me tell you something. When you talk about great middle linebackers of that era, nobody mentions London Fletcher. And London Fletcher has just about the same credentials as Ray Lewis. London Fletcher has just about the same credentials as Brian Urlacher. And nobody never mentions London Fletcher's name. Obviously, Chicago Bears, Monsters of the Midway, they have the lineage of having the great middle linebackers. That gives Urlacher a push. Ray Lewis didn't find a camera he didn't like. You know what I'm saying? So that gives Ray Lewis a push. But one thing I will say about Ray Lewis, outside of everything, there's nobody that has been a greater leader of a team, a greater locker room presence, probably since I've been watching sports than Ray Lewis was. So you also got to give Ray Lewis that. So Ray Lewis, definitely first ballot Hall of Famer. When they go to the Canton and do the speeches, Ray Lewis should be the last guy to get up on that podium because when they got between that lines and in that locker room, what he did for that city and that team, Ray Lewis definitely deserves to be a first ballot Hall of Famer, all in kid.
Yeah, I don't think there's any question when it comes down to Lewis. I don't have a problem with the whole first ballot, non-first ballot. Like, to me, if you're a Hall of Famer, you're a Hall of Famer. I've always hated that. Oh, really? You can't be on the first ballot.
I think the first ballot has some prestige to it.
I've never liked that. If you're going to vote him in the Hall of Fame, you vote him in the Hall of Fame. Period. Yeah, well, like, that's TL deserves to be there.
He got blackballed for people didn't like him.
And I think T.O. should have been first ballot.
That's why he wasn't a first ballot. Because people were like, they knew they had to put him in, but they didn't like him, and that was the only way they could kind of like stick something to him. But I mean, just looking next year, like Ed Reed, Tony Gonzalez.
Next year, obviously, next year you got some big names going in. Also, another great leader for that Baltimore Ravens defense. Great leader when the University of Miami, but that don't count. is my man Ed Reed. Ed Reed likely to be a first ballot Hall of Famer. Might be the great one of the best safeties to ever play the game. Tony Gonzalez also maybe the best tight end to ever play the game. And then you get the iffy one with Champ Bailey, who may have stayed in a little bit too long because towards the end, Champ Bailey was like Darrell Revis. You know what I'm saying? It was like, you just keep running down the field. That guy right there is nothing. So there you go right there. Those are the three guys that should be coming up in next year's class. As far as NFL honors goes, did you watch any of it, Matt?
That I did not.
You don't do award shows.
No, I don't really do award shows.
The ESPYs, NFL. Yeah, I like stuff like this.
Like Saturday night, I was. We took mom out to dinner, me and the wife.
Yeah.
And we ordered a bunch of really good food. I seemed like I ate pretty much everything on the damn table. Cool. But you know.
I DVR'd it. I watched it when I got back in the crib. Jake, did you do NFL honors?
No.
Why doesn't nobody watch award shows? y'all don't like award shows?
The one award show I used to like was the Golden Globes, where people used to get like
Hammond.
Hammond, and it was fun. Now nothing's fun anymore.
Yeah. No, well, I want to talk about the show. But nobody saw the show besides me. I was not the only person to watch the damn the NFL honors. Rob Riggle was the host.
I like Rob Riggle.
I think he might be a Giant fan because he was roasting Ben McAdoo for like a good 5 minutes straight. So
no, we could just be a football fan to do that.
I think Giants fans take more pride in that. What else did they do at the NFL honors? They had the Saints won. Alvin Kamara, Rookie of the Year. And then Marshawn Lattimore, Defensive Rookie of the Year. Aaron Donald and Todd Gurley. Sean McVay was the Coach of the Year. They gave a game-changer award to the little
Todd girl. Todd Gurley got Offensive Player of the Year, but not MVP. Whatever.
Yeah, to the MVP, the most valuable player went to Tom Brady, who lost yesterday to the Philadelphia Eagles. So that was fun. But why didn't y'all watch it?
Well, I guess it wasn't.
You didn't even DVR? Nobody? Nothing?
No, yeah. I
don't care.
And I was just upset. I was out and wasn't something that I knew if I didn't watch it then, I wasn't going to put it back on my DVR and watch it.
Jake, you don't like award
don't
shows?
Don't watch award shows. Don't watch documentaries. Don't care.
Not even, you got to watch Coach Snoop on Netflix right now. It's amazing.
Nope.
Matt Medica.
I don't have too much love for Snoop Dogg?
I liked Snoop Dogg back in the day.
I'm telling you, you watch Coach Snoop. It's very good. It's on Netflix. It's streaming right now. They should send me a check for promoting this. Coach Snoop, I'm coming for you. Whatever, but y'all will like it. Maybe the Goon Squad. You watch a little Coach Snoop and you'll enjoy yourself. I can't believe y'all don't watch no award shows.
That's a great picture.
The Grammys, nothing. Nothing.
Oh, the Grammys, I think are just so like... Eh.
Yeah, it's too much for you, Matt.
No, it's nothing. Look, I like music. I have nothing problem with that.
Yeah.
I just never really thought the Grammys were... Look, they're better than the American Music Awards, I'll say that.
Oh, God.
What does it do for my life?
Well, Jake, it's something you sit down and watch.
What happens the next day? Nothing. All right. Everybody moves on.
All right. I just wanted to talk about NFL honors. But we did have a good Hall of Fame class.
No, that we did. Look, the one problem I have is there's like a minimum of players that have to get in. And this year, everybody was deserving. It shouldn't be a minimum, though. I'm not a fan of that.
Why not?
Like, if just for sake, the one year there weren't guys that were deserving, so you got to put people in?
Well, I think you still got guys out there, you know what I'm saying, that can go in, even if you don't have, like, the big guys at the top of the ballot. I mean, at some point, we got to have the Steve McNair conversation, even if I'm the only one that's pushing for the Steve McNair conversation. But Steve McNair should be that word put in the Hall of Fame.
Will Colt McCoy be eligible as a backup?
No, Colt McCoy going to go in the Big 12 Hall of Fame. Does the Big 12 have a Hall of Fame? Interesting.
I'm sure they have some kind of...
Ooh, helmet to helmet on Brandon Cooks yesterday was not called all in, kid, Jake Silly. Do you think that's letting him play too much?
I think that was definitely letting him play too much. And it's funny, I actually lost about like 13 followers after that. People were like, oh, it's football and all this. And like, okay, first of all, and then somebody tweeted out that he became a runner, so it's not helmet to helmet. No. Helmet to helmet is always helmet to helmet.
He's not a defenseless. He wasn't a defenseless receiver.
He wasn't a defenseless receiver, but he can't be running around like that. I was looking at him like, yo, this guy's crazy. Like when he turned around, you got to have your head on a swivel and he set himself up to get laid out. I don't think he was going for him there. It's like, the guy moves a little this way or that way. I mean, I know for playing hockey and stuff, and when I did play tackle football, you can't keep your head down. And look, I don't think it was a hit that he was going for it. And so the difference between hitting him in the chest or hitting him here is just inches. And when a guy moves, my argument.
I mean, it's still, but the fact is, I don't care about intent. The rule, I mean, it's helmet to helmet. That's what it was. Did the helmets hit? Did the helmets hit? It's a penalty. That's the end of it. I mean, this is the rules. The fact is, it's like, this is why, if I ever have kids, never playing football. Because honestly, if we don't go back to the wrap up tackling, hey, let's take a listen from the week before with not wrapping up tackling and see what happens when Thielen goes down and scores a touchdown. Maybe we should start wrapping people up and just stop trying to spear everybody, because that's the problem in the NFL to begin with.
So I want to talk about this right quick, because I don't think Malcolm Jenkins had any intent, because Malcolm Jenkins ain't that type of dude. But that should have been a 15-yard penalty right there, in my opinion. Yeah. But I want to know why people unfollow Jake. So talk about that when we come back right here on the Fantasy Frenzy. On FST right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
There's been no shortage of many legendary father-son teams in NASCAR. The Earnhardts, the Jarretts, the Petties, and now the Angles. The Father and Son Fantasy NASCAR Hour continues the long-standing tradition of family and NASCAR racing. It features Hall of Famer Scott Angle and his son, five-time DraftKings tournament winner Sean Angle. They help you set the ideal DraftKings lineups with in-depth analysis and driver breakdowns. The Father and Son Fantasy NASCAR Hour, Saturdays at 6 a.m. Eastern on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Brandon Cooks takes a helmet-to-helmet shot. No 15-yard penalty was called. Intriguing. But even my computer. Excuse me, y'all. I have the wrong headphones on.
Well, look.
Thank you. That's what happened, Jake. I was connected to the wrong headset.
I just didn't want to say that. You know, you can't do what he did neither, and I expect to get knocked out.
But no, man, you can't say that, Matt.
If he would have squared him up in the chest, too. I mean, look.
It would have been a tough shot if he got squared him up in the chest. But Malcolm Jenkins.
He was going helped. It's in football. It's to me.
It's a bang
so
bang
different.
Play, but they want to take that out the game.
I hear you. I just don't know. I don't see it changing really too much. I think these plays are going to happen.
Most intriguing part about this Brandon Cooks non-15-yard penalty was the fact that the all-in kid, Jake Seeley, lost 13 Twitter followers. why'd they leave you? Because you said what did they find so offensive that people unfollowed you?
I guess they get pissed off with a fellow like, oh, have you ever played football? It is football. You know what you're talking about. He was running around like Matt said, and that's the point. It's like, I never disagree with it. My entire point, as has been, as you guys both know now for multiple years, is you need to change the culture of the NFL. Go back to the 90s and aughts where people wrap up tackle. It's the spearing everybody, wanted to be a highlight play, wanted to truck stick everybody like in Madden and, you know, jar everybody in these bone-crushing hits, and that's why we have this stuff. This is, again, but you also see the downside of it. I keep going back to the Marcus Williams is the fact he completely missed a tackle because he was lowering his shoulder going for that. Just wrap somebody else and tackle them, and you don't have that play happen. Wrap somebody yesterday, you probably still knock him out of the game for a few plays because it was a hard hit and he wasn't looking. You're right about that part, but you're not knocking him helmet to helmet and knocking out of the game. And I'm not saying helmet to helmet is never going to happen. My point is just the fact that, like, this is why we have the concussion problem. This is why we have these issues in the NFL. And, you know, what people do is people get mad when you have an opinion that's different than theirs, and especially when it comes to something like this, and people are like, oh, it's football. You're an idiot.
Would you have unfollowed him, Matt? You have a different opinion.
No. But look, it's true. The one thing people must understand, when you go on Twitter, people are going to hate you and troll you and all that.
Yeah.
Either you block him, you mute him, or you go at him.
I thought it was funny that they did.
My thing is, you think is that serious that you unfollow somebody? You know, then they're gonna follow back and be like, "Can I get your rankings for week 3?"
Twitter's a cesspool. A lot of the time, there's some very good things that you can take out of Twitter as well, and use Twitter for things as well. It's helped me in that aspect, But you got to know there's plenty of hate going on there too.
Yeah, hey,
I'd probably like to say, to go back at him, as Matt said, this is the problem. This probably kicked off another 2 to 3. My final tweet was, and this is where I let it go after this. I said it was helmet to helmet, and if you think that's okay because the rules allow it and it's a football move, then you're crazy. And this is why my kids will never play football. But and see, that's all I said.
The whole thing about, like, what he's saying, it's about debate with anything. I might think you're wrong about something, and I'm right, and I'll debate you on it, but I don't hate you after because you didn't agree.
Yeah, I'm not going to agree.
And I think that's part of the major problem with society.
I hate everybody already, so I mean, that works.
Fantasy, right quick, though, people, let me tell you about Fantasy Factor, because this is very important. Fantasy Factor is the only daily fantasy site for the casual recreational player. They have flatter prize pools, smaller fields, and single-entry contests only. Fantasy Factor runs NHL and NBA free rolls every week. Free entry. Simply sign up and enter. Once again, that is fantasyfactor.com, the perfect daily fantasy site for the casual recreational player. Fantasyfactor.com, NBA and NHL free rolls every week. Simply sign up and enter. fantasyfactor.com. I already got Matt Madika's opinion on it, Jake. I asked yours. I'm probably going to be the same thing that you said about. But y'all agree on a lot of the other stuff, so my guess is y'all would agree. What do you think of Justin Timberlake's halftime show?
Yeah, it was okay. Whatever.
Okay.
I don't get that much involved in the halftime show. I told you, I used to be the one that was looking for the Bud Light versus Budweiser and all the other things, like the celebrity deathmatch that used to be on MTV. I'd rather watch anything than the halftime shows, but for the fact that I was forced to watch it, it was all right. It was decent. I liked the fact that he did a bunch of the old songs. And then the Instagram Kim, who had no idea what to do with his hands. That was the best part.
Yeah, I like that. Sussman and Madika didn't like the halftime show.
I usually don't even watch the halftime show, but that was terrible.
So there you go right there. Once again, shout out to the Philadelphia Eagles and their fans. Fly, Eagles, fly. Tom Brady has no Super Bowl championships against the NFC East. Too bad the Dallas Cowboys are not in that mix. FST, we out.